afternoon or evening or whenever you're listening to this. I am your beautiful, sexy and talented and very modest host, Ben Galatia, and welcome to the UK. I'm trying to keep
a
straight
face. He's also a big fan of liar.
I really tried not to break character then, but I couldn't do it. And welcome to the UK Dallas Cowboys podcast from the First and Ten Network. As always, I am joined by a very overexcitable American in the form of Rob. How are you doing, Rob?
Phenomenal.
Come on, say it.
Damn Cowboys.
Yes.
Every win we get one of those. Good. Right, we're in flavor country. also, as always, I'm joined by the not so beautiful, talented as myself, Bill.
I like to think of myself as ruggedly handsome.
Yeah. Definitely rugged summoned. Right. Anyway, moving swiftly on. Got a little bit to talk about, not as much as some weeks, but there's a bit to talk about this week. We're going to go straight into it. We played the dirty Eagles yesterday, which is why this podcast is coming to you a little bit later than usual. Spoiler alert, but we smashed the living shit out of them, and it was glorious to watch. I feel like this is going to be a short podcast purely because we're just going to go, yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, this is great. Yeah, that was great.
We fucking killed him.
We're just going to gush at him, aren't we?
How about Dak Prescott? How about Ezekiel Elliott? 2 touchdowns, 98 yards, best game he's had in like 11 games or something crazy. Let's go. Who else? Trayvon Diggs, pick six. First pick six. Since 2017, and Byron Jones had one. He just killed it. And he's also the first Dallas Cowboy player that's had 3 interceptions, 1 per game, since like 1976 or 1977. I can't even name the player that did that. So we're breaking records everywhere. We're doing big things. We're making the Dallas Cowboys play. They're playing like the Dallas Cowboys, playing like fucking America's team. No one can stop us. How about them Cowboys? And should I say it?
No,
don't say it. Popcorn ready.
Oh, you can say that.
I thought you were going to say something very different.
Did you happen to mention at the start in the introduction that Rob was the overexcitable one?
I think I might have tinged on it. So, when you were naming your names there, Rob, and I agree with everything you said then, by the way, spot on. But the one thing I would add is how nice, guys, was it to see Cedric Wilson step into Gallup's role, man? That was fucking brilliant.
It was amazing.
He's always been decent, but this was the first game where it was like, I love Gallup. I don't want Gallup to go. But it was yes. You reckon he's going?
I reckon he is, or I want him to go.
I don't want Gallup.
I'll tell you why, and I will.
Who are we going to trade him for? He's already damaged goods. You think we're not going to get as much as we could have for him prior to his injury?
Well, that's the problem. Going off on a bit of a tangent while we do the actual game analysis, but to me, once Gallup comes back and he's got another 4 games, bring him back, throw the ball at him a ton, get him yardage, get him touchdowns, get him on everyone's tongue, and then all of a sudden trade him off and get some defensive help that will get us to that Super Bowl.
Another lineman in case Zach Martin gets hurt or Lael Collins does some stupid shit. Maybe another solid offensive lineman.
I can see that, but I think if we could get some... I don't know. We're doing so well. Let's carry on with the analysis.
Back to the analysis. We had a fucking game. There was a couple errors. There was a couple offensive errors. There was, we got sacked a little bit. And there was a couple defensive errors. But we still...
And Mike McCarthy.
And we scored 41. What about Mike McCarthy?
Mike McCarthy still doesn't know how to read a fucking time clock.
Yeah.
We had a minute and 24 seconds left, and he's just, you know, it's 3rd and 24. He's just letting the clock run. It looked like one of the referees actually ran over to him, like, "Do you want to call a timeout? I can't do this for you." Like,
look, dude, you really need to take this now, because we were running up and down that field for fun. And and then all of a sudden, they're on 3rd and 26, 3rd and 24 with a minute 30. And you're not going to take a timeout, because chances are they're not going to make that. And then they're going to take a bit of time, and then they're going to either kick a field goal or give us the ball back. And we're at least going to get 3 points out of it. But he fucked around and pissed around and again showed that he doesn't properly understand play clock.
I will tell you, and don't get me wrong, Mike McCarthy has definitely done a lot of good in that team. And I'm not going to slag him off too much. But here's my feeling, Mike McCarthy is quite often when he's on that sideline, he looks like, you know, when you go to a friend's house for a barbecue and their dad is trying to run the barbecue and trying to be in charge of everything, but one of his son's really hot friends has turned up and he keeps accidentally burning burgers and chicken because he's looking at her ass. That is what he has become on that sideline. And don't get me wrong, what he's done with getting Dan Quinn in and just generally enforcing and supporting Dan, and exactly the same with Kellen Moore. Like, as much as, you know, he's definitely not the perfect coach, the team that he's put together is working well. So props to the guy for that. But he just looks like a confused guy who can't multitask at times.
I agree. I think Kellen Moore is having a phenomenal season so far in 3 games. Don't forget, it's only 3 games, but you know, limited sample size. But he's
still four to go.
He is having an absolute phenomenal season with the way he's calling his plays. You know, I think we were looking amazing last, you know, all 3 games, and I guarantee that it's probably even running past like it was last night. And then Dan Quinn, obviously, Dan Quinn's just turned that defense into a decent defense from what it was.
I'm giving a little bit of that defense, and we've got a top 10 defense. Just need a little tweaking, but not too much.
I think we're leading we're tied for the most takeaways in the NFL.
Yeah, we couldn't get one to save for love nor money, man, last sort of 3 or 4 seasons, and now all of a sudden Trayvon Diggs is the man that's getting them all for us. Well,
Two seasons ago, when our defense was actually turning up, what was the one thing we said? Our defense is turning up, but we never get takeaways.
Yeah.
And then last season, it was like, well, our defense isn't turning up, and we're not even getting takeaways. And then this season, it's like, our defense is kind of turning up, but fuck me, are we getting takeaways? I mean, we got that many takeaways, right? I was screaming my head off. Deliveroo turned up. Right? That's where we fucking are here.
I knew a shit joke were coming based on that.
No. So I'll be honest, I said takeaway too many times for that joke. I apologise. It was clearly coming, that joke.
I want to say that the first one we got, the one that Brown got, it was a massively underthrown ball. Let's put it this way. If Rob was covering there, you would have turned around and caught that and would have got it. That was nothing on the Cowboys. That was all on Jalen Hurts.
Here's my problem with that, as much as because I completely agree with you. Basically, when I looked at that, I remembered when we were against the Bucks, and he was basically as far behind him as he was behind Antonio Brown, except Antonio Brown caught that ball from Tom Brady and Jalen underthrew that ball to him. That's the difference there. Noah Brown just happened to be in the right place at the right time for that throw.
Noah Brown's our wide receiver. We have a lot of Browns. Anthony Brown.
Anthony Brown, sorry. You're right, I'm getting confused. But then at the same time, though, you did see him running. You saw him look for it, and you saw him then, like, slow to catch it. But if it had gone further, he wasn't stopping it.
If it was well thrown, it wouldn't have been an interception. It would have been. No. He would have had to stop it because it would have been in the end zone. But yeah,
I think it would, on
the exact opposite, the Trayvon Diggs interception, although Devontae Smith did actually fall, if you actually watch the footage of it, Diggs was already undercutting that route. He knew where that ball was going. He was heading for it before the slip.
Diggs was looking like Deion Sanders in that play.
He was always getting that ball. That was all skill.
The one of the most impressive things about Diggs is obviously, he's a cornerback. He's meant to run along with them, but actually nearly all of Diggs's most impressive plays over the last three games has just been his understanding of the wide receiver routes that they're running.
And it's almost like he studies that.
It's like he knows what routes they're running. So because there's been a couple times where I'm like, where's he going? And I'm like, we got an interception. Like,
he just starts running their route.
He's going to fuck up sometimes, but he's kind of predicting where they're going to run and shortcutting. But the thing that makes him so good is he's a quick little fucker. And because of that, he's making the guess of where the ball's going to be, of where they're running their route, and he cuts in. But it's not like if he did it once or twice, it's just a really good play. He's doing it game in, game out at the moment. He's really got a really slight second sight almost on that.
So I always say that there's two different types of cornerback. There's your Byron Joneses, who just basically is so tight on that guy's pocket that the ball never will ever get either thrown to him, or if it does, he's already causing him a nuisance so he can't catch it. And then you've got your Diggses, and your Diggses are your men that he's going to let some plays go. He's going to let some big plays go, but he's also going to snag a ball every game.
Yeah, but the thing with that, though, is I'd agree with that with some players. I wouldn't even put Diggs in that category because Diggs doesn't let many big plays go.
He doesn't. No. But whenever you're trying to get the ball, you're always gonna lose sight of your main aim, which is stopping the play.
Agreed. But at the same time, though, because Diggs is so quick, he's so quick at adjusting how he's running. Like, I'm going to intercept this. Oh no, I'm not. I'm going to stop this. Like, he's. I mean, I'm going to say it, and I know this is a very big statement. I think since I've been a fan, I think he's the best cornerback we've had so far. I reckon he's definitely going that way.
I'm working out how many years you've been a fan, and I would say that the top cornerbacks we've had through those
Byron
years
Jones.
Is Byron Jones.
Byron Jones.
Byron Jones. We would have had Orlando Scandrick.
Scandrick was good.
We would have had Pac-Man.
Pac-Man was good until he got in trouble at the strip club.
He got in trouble with a lot of places, did Pac-Man. I agree with you because I can't think of anyone that we've really had. It's been a terrible position.
Since prime time. Yeah, we haven't had somebody that good.
Roy Williams.
Williams is solid. He was good.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, Byron Jones was fantastic, but maybe it was because Byron Jones was just so good it was boring because it was just, nobody faced Byron Jones.
That was the thing about Byron Jones is that he was never touted as the greatest in the world simply because no one knew his name because his name was never being called because no one was throwing in his direction. Because he was just right on it. And he's done the same in Miami. He's been great in Miami.
He looked great on Sunday. He looked great on Sunday. I did see a few plays of him, and he was balling. But I think that's the difference, though, because we'd had that bonus, but we weren't winning much. And I think the thing is, it's all good stopping, but you need to be getting points occasionally. And Diggs is just getting turnovers after turnovers after turnovers.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things you can have if you've got a Byron Jones. You need something decent on the other two, three guys. Otherwise, you're just going to They're just not going to throw to your main guy. You need skill there, and I think apart from Anthony Brown, who I think he's competent, he's good. He's not. He's going to ruin us at times. He's also going to be competent at times. I think Jordan Lewis re-signing him was always great because he had a great game as well.
Yeah, Lewis is good.
So we do have that cover there, and then we just needs to be seeing what it was the second round guy that we picked that's injured.
I'd like to say three quick things. First off, that fucking fumble in the end zone by Dak, they call a fumble or incomplete. I'd say that was an incomplete pass. Potentially.
Let me just
hit all 3 points. Next thing, when they had the fucking zoom in on the 1-inch touchdown that was stopped, we got screwed on that play because I saw they showed the picture today of the aerial view of him. Dak clearly crossed the line. So we got fucked on that one.
6 foot over. It was ridiculous. That was ridiculous.
And then the other thing I wanted to say is I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was like a section where like Dak was in the end zone for like 2 plays and he was just like running around. But then Zeke got the touchdown on the 3rd play. But I was like, what the fuck is Dak doing? I don't know if you guys remember that part, but it was like, why don't you just go and get the touchdown? I'm not sure if you guys saw that. And then last but not least, I want to say one thing. Jalen Hurts. So you know how the whole beat Dallas t-shirts and everything people were wearing. I can't remember what player was on the fuckheads team, but Jalen Hurts, I saw a really funny meme where it says Hurts, I had a picture of him, to his number, lose. Hurts to lose. I also saw Hurts, don't it.
I'm going to address those 4 points. Yes. It wasn't a forward pass. Dak was hit. The ball was out of his hands before he was even pushing the ball forward. But I will say that what Dak should have done is he should have actually probably, if he wasn't going to be able to throw it, he should have been able to just take this safety. 2 points is better than 7 points. But that was all on Javon Hargreaves. He just basically took over Bayadash for some time.
And Fucker Cox just like held the ball to the back of Dak.
That was response to our interception. Yeah. It wasn't our interception. It was just a fuck up by them. So a fuck up by us makes it all.
I'm really not bothered by that whole play. When it happened, I kind of knew it was probably going to happen. And here's why I'm not bothered by it. We've just been talking about all the interceptions we're getting. And a lot of the interceptions we've been getting are on, you know, is, you know, within basically, you know, 10 yards from our fucking... I forgot what it's fucking called.
End zone.
What's the fucking... I was thinking touchline. Fucking hell. But within 10 yards from the end zone, when that happens, you're making more plays in your own end zone. You're going to get, you know, you're going to get the odd safety. You might give up the odd touchdown. But the thing is, we're getting them. And sometimes we're moving out, sometimes we're not. We looked really good doing it last week. We didn't look so good doing it this week. But unless it's happening every game, I'm not really bothered because we're getting the turnovers and we'll lose a couple. But the chances are they were going to score a touchdown if we hadn't got the interception.
Yeah, exactly.
So really, all delayed. But as long as it's not happening week in, week out, it really doesn't bother me that.
We do look a bit iffy when we're pinned back. I have noticed that.
We didn't last week. Last week when we were pinned back, I noticed we weren't necessarily doing lots, but we were slowly but surely moving forward. We were getting stopped after a while and then having to turn the ball over, but we looked more confident in that position last week than we did this week, I feel. But yeah.
And also Aaron Rodgers, I guess, doesn't want to sell hot dogs anymore.
Oh God, yeah, he's playing well. Hang on, we're still talking about the Eagles game. Because Rob, onto one of your three points.
Four points in the end.
Well, one of his original three. What you said about Dak running around and not running the ball forward. that's something I've noticed too in all these games, is Dak isn't running forward with the ball anymore.
Not
really.
Much, no.
But it's not just, he's like Rob pointed out then, there's plenty of times where he has the space to do it. He's concentrating on throwing, and I really think that's Kellen Moore's style, offensive style, and it works. But we are definitely missing the odd down, and I understand he got injured. We're trying to protect him. They've probably told him not to run too forward too much, because if Dak's injured, we ain't winning shit. That's a fact.
Right.
I understand why they're probably withdrawing it, but I mean, maybe you could do it occasionally.
If we need to on the third and four.
He's not doing it.
There was times when he had to run. I think the offensive line struggled a little bit at times. It played out in two different ways. One, it was either absolutely stellar and he had all the time in the world, or it just collapsed completely. And you never knew which way it was going to go. And so Dak did what Dak does, and he sort of goes off with his feet, and with those guys that we have, you're going to make a play eventually.
That's the thing. He runs to the side a lot more. He used to run forward. Now he runs to the side.
True. But let's bring in Zeke, because he was doing a lot of the running forward, and he was great.
He's great. And I'll tell you what, that 1-2 punch, we've talked about it for a couple seasons now, and everyone, all the media are talking about it at the moment. But Pollard, people were saying Pollard's overtaken Zeke. Pollard wasn't overtaken Zeke. Last week, Pollard, it made sense to use Pollard more. This week, it made sense to use Zeke more. Yeah. We're using our offense because we have so many weapons. We are tailoring our offense to the defense, and this is fucking working. And all these people trying to go, Zeke's had a bit. No.
Zeke ran for 95 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. We mostly threw the first week because that's where they were weaker, right? And we nearly fucking did them, right? Do you know what I mean? We ran a bit more, but we did play action last week because that's where their defense was a bit weaker. And this week we ran straight into them because that's where their defense was weaker. It's not about having stars on the team. It's about the team getting wins. And that's what's fucking happening. It's brilliant.
Here's a fantastic stat that doesn't actually... Nothing jumps out on the page, but when you actually look at it and analyse it, it kind of does. Let's ignore the 2 touchdowns because they were sort of goal line carries anyway. So Zeke didn't create those as such.
Yeah.
So Zeke did 95 yards on 17 attempts. He averaged 5.6 yards, right? Which is good. It's very good, 5.6 yards. His longest was 13. His longest wasn't great. He doesn't have... What I mean by this is he doesn't have like a 25-yard, 30-yard breaker that is skewing that average. That average is a very plain 5.6 yards per carry, which is fantastic.
Yeah,
5.6 yards per carry is basically a first down every two attempts. Yeah. And like I said, there's looking at it, his longest was 13, so there's nothing that's skewing these figures. There's no sort of breakout 30-yard, 40-yarder that's going to turn that average higher. It's ground and pound as Zeke does best.
Yeah.
So there's no way he's lost it.
No.
And I want to point out, do you guys know who Stephen A is? Stephen A, he's with, sometimes he's with Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless. Stephen A is the biggest Cowboy hater who's always screaming.
Cowboys.
So get this, he just released his top 5 teams in the NFL 2 hours ago. And keep in mind, this guy hates the Dallas Cowboys probably more than anybody. Number 1, LA Rams. Number 2, Green Bay Packers. Number 3, Dallas Cowboys.
I don't know. Is that NFL teams or NFC teams?
NFL. Let me get to number 4 is the Arizona Cardinals. Number 5 is the Cleveland Browns.
I always put the Cardinals at 4. Yeah, but he does. I like it, but don't forget that he is one of those that does put things that are controversially just so that people will talk about how controversial it is, thus giving themselves more references. So more people are talking about that show. I looked at the NFL rankings on the NFL. Dan Hansis does it. And Greg Rosenthal. And he has it at about 10 or 11.
Yep.
Which I'm a bit more happy with. Let's put it this way. Just jumping the gun quite a lot. We're, based on the three games that we've had and the performances that we've seen from everyone, we're a shoe into, and the rest of our schedule, I can't see us not winning our division.
Here's the other thing. We're going, like Stephen A. and other players and Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp, all these guys we're talking about, if we don't win the NFC East, there's something wrong. The other thing they're saying, everybody's saying that we're a contender, but not 100%. Yeah, where they're saying is we will get a home playoff game and we will win that playoff game. He's like, everybody's saying we will win at least one playoff game at this point. Now, if you're looking at our schedule, I mean, we'll get to this later, but I think what I said with my 12-5 or 11-6, I think that's going to hold true if we continue to play how we're playing. I think it could even be better. Maybe we go 13-3 like in 2016.
The thing is that, Rob, we could talk about this, but not only have we got an extra week to play, but we've got a fragile team. You know, the last few seasons have seen that, and I think we should hold the fuck up. Let's start having these conversations when we're 10 games in. Sure, I'm fully in.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one.
We've played two good teams and we've played the Sheagles, right? And don't get me wrong, we've won two of them. We could have won three of them.
Yeah.
We're doing good.
We were a minute and a half away from winning all three.
But also with some of the others, not just the Cowboys, but some of the other teams who are doing great now and some of the other teams that are doing shit now, that's going to change over the next seven to eight games. You know, the Broncos look great at the moment, but they've only played 0-9 teams. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like
here's another stat.
They've been playing shit teams.
The 3-0 Carolina Panthers, number one ranked defense, has faced these offenses so far: 24th ranked Texans, 30th ranked Jets, and 31st ranked Saints. That number 5 ranked Cowboys offense is a whole new kind of problem and will eat them alive at AT&T.
I kind of agree with you. So one of the things I did this year in my fantasy is I've taken Sam Darnold in pretty much every league I could, knowing that his first 5 or 6 games at the start of the season were going to be against shit, against the Jets, against the Texans. So it was always like, right, I've got him. I've basically, one of my fantasy leagues is I have 3 quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, Trevor Lawrence, and Teddy Bridgewater, none of which are going to set the world alight, but you just play the best matchup because they're all got easy schedules.
Yeah.
And we are kind of jumping the gun going into the Panthers because that's who we play next. But
I think this is a good time to move into it. I think it's a good time to move. We've basically said everything we want to say about the Eagles.
Yeah, they were shit.
I believe. They were shit. We were good. Oh, one thing I will say. They were shit. Their offensive line needs work, okay? But Jalen Hurts, forget he's an Eagle for a second. He had some very tasty moments. And he's some of his movement and throws outside of the pocket were pretty fucking good.
And some of them were terrible, and he held on to the ball for far too long and got sacked.
Yeah, but I think that's partially because he's still quite young, and partially because he was getting a bit disorientated with his own line, like just running away from him. But I think if that Eagles O-line gets better and Jalen Hurts, has a little bit more time, I think next season they could potentially start to be a bit of a problem for us. But not yet, obviously.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I think I think by the end of this, we play them the last game of the year, and I've given them the win on that one on our start so of the year, but simply because we're probably not going to be playing our starters in that game.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And the thing is, and this is the worst thing about it, is they'll beat our fucking B team, and oh my god, they won't shut up about it. they won't even get through as a wild card. And I'll be like, we beat the Cowboys end of the season, and we're like, yeah, we had Cooper Rush at fucking QB, mate. Fuck yeah. Off. Like, I'm sure for that, fuck it, for that game, we should do Rob Swish and bring T.O. back as a wide receiver. Right, well, let's move on to the Panthers then. So yeah, their defense has been pretty shit hot, but it's been playing against hot shit, so that's why. But their offense is looking decent.
It isn't. Sam Darnold's been good. He's been better than he ever was at the Jets, and that's Adam Gase completely.
Yeah.
I've always liked DJ Moore. I've always liked they brought Ruddy Anderson in. He's back with Sam Darnold. They're all been doing well. You haven't got Christian McCaffrey anymore. He's out.
Which is the best news ever. It's the best because not. This is why it's the best news. The best news because the Cowboys don't have to play them. It's also the best news because I'm playing my best mate of fantasy next week, and he drafted Christian McCaffrey first.
Yeah, I think everyone drafted Christian McCaffrey first, and I did as well in my super important league.
He actually drafted him second because the guy with the first pick took Dalvin Cook. So my mate was like, "Oh, thanks, I'll have CMC at pick number two." Did not think I was getting.
So I think. Without him, they are a different team. I did watch what they were doing the other with Chuba Hubbard. Incidentally, by the way, the Panthers have the two best player names in the NFL at this moment with Chuba Hubbard. And my favorite tight end name of ever is called Tommy Tremble.
Tommy Tremble's good.
It's no Basham, though.
No, Basham.
I don't know. There's a very different. There's a bit more. I can imagine Tommy Tremble is kind of the aftermath to a Basham.
Yeah.
Once you bash them, you probably trembled a little bit. I don't know. It's just I caught you having a Tommy Tremble, didn't I? Sort of thing.
Tommy Tank. Oh, that would be the best tight end name, Tommy Tank. Yes, please. By the way, Rob, if you don't know, Tommy Tank is Cockney rhyming slang for wank.
And you didn't know. And wank means to masturbate.
Masturbate. Obviously. If you've not caught that one after being on the podcast for us, you'll never learn anything. Like, of course you know what wank means, fucking hell.
So, speaking of wank, I think the Panthers are gonna struggle on the roll line against our guys. I think they haven't got anyone there that can protect Darnold, and he's not really come up against a top defense at all.
Yeah, no, he hasn't. But I hope you're right. But at the same time, like I know it's another team and we shouldn't really care. But Sam Darnold has been treated like shit in the NFL, and he's had a rough fucking ride. The fans have been crap. The institution as a whole has been terrible to him, and he's just a nice young lad who wants to play some fucking football.
And he's good.
I tell you what, it's been a really nice seeing him play for the Panthers. Fair play, Sam Darnold. Like, I hope we fucking destroy you next week. But other than that, like, you know, fair play to you, mate. You're getting out there, you're playing some good football, you're showing everyone actually you are decent. And it wasn't just that he was at the Jets. You nailed it, what you said, Adam Gase.
Gase ruins the quarterbacks.
Well, it's really interesting. I read a stat of all the players that were shit under Gase and then were amazing after he left. And there is some of the biggest names in the NFL. both when he had them at college and at NFL.
Yeah,
Peyton Manning.
Where did he look after Peyton Manning at?
I think it was at college, and Peyton Manning couldn't do shit with him, and then he left, and then was Peyton fucking Manning. Yeah, there were several over the years.
I know his most recent one are obviously Sam Darnold and Ryan Tannehill. You only have to look at what Tannehill did once he left Miami. He still is great at the Titans. Different scheme, different player.
Yep. Tannehill is. I mean, I never knew the other thing, but there we go. He's now my quarterback in fantasy, so there we go.
Yeah, well, I certainly won't be playing Sam Darnold this week anyway. I'm going to call it now. I think we're going to be 17 points ahead.
Oh, really?
You know what we forgot to address? You were the closest on the score of how many points you were going to beat him by.
Who, me or Ben?
You.
What did I say? You two all kept it close, and I was like, "Nah, we're gonna kill him by 20."
Yeah, something like that.
I probably wasn't as far away.
I think I said 10 or 14. I think, yeah.
Yeah, I might have said 20, 21.
Yeah, I think you did say 20, actually. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying the same. I'm saying similar to for the Panthers. I think we beat him by 17.
Oh, you say 17. Okay.
I'm going to say we beat them by 14.
I'm going close. I'm saying 7.
I think it's going to be close.
I think it's going to be close.
I think it'll be a close first half, but then we'll take the lead, and then Sam Darnold will be chasing the game and end up starting to throw picks.
Yeah, maybe. It's not their offense that worries me. I mean, their offense is going to get some points against us. I think
They're down McCaffrey.
Yeah.
I know their defense has played shit. I'm fully with you, but their defense has got confidence. And don't get me wrong, our offense is ridiculous, and we've got so many tools. But I think they're going to catch us out a bit more than we think. I think Dak's going to throw a pick, maybe two. I think we'll beat them, and I definitely think we'll beat them, but I think it's going to be closer than what either of you two think. I hope I'm wrong.
Don't forget this one as well, because we had the COVID stuff. We get Dorrance Armstrong back. We get... So we'll have Micah Parsons. We'll have Keanu Neal back, because he didn't play for COVID. Dorrance Armstrong didn't play for COVID. The commentators kept saying we have Bradley and Ayers out as well, but I don't think that made any difference. One thing, has everyone seen the Lyle Collins story?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. So, obviously, we talked about it last week and about how he'd had a bad rap because he basically... How wrong we were. Oh, no, I think we were still right. I just think he's trying to get out of it. Now,
did you hear how it all panned out as well?
All I saw was that he most recently he'd tried to bribe them.
Yeah. Even better. So he missed the three, right? So he knew he was in trouble. So he tried to bribe the guy to say, "Don't tell him that I missed him," and you know, hey, I have a bit of money. And he didn't. He still carried on, and he ended up getting the ban for 2 games. He got banned for 2 games, and then Lyle Collins went and appealed it, right, on the basis that he had fairly decent excuses to not be there. Yeah. So the judge, who is completely independent of the NFL, when they do these appeals, it's completely independent of the NFL, he went and looked into it all and found the bribery. And that's when he went. He didn't just overturn the appeal, but he changed the 2 games into 6 games.
Oh, we've got some dogs kicking up.
My dog's going absolutely fucking nuts, guys. I'm gonna go see what's going on.
He's just going. How about them cowboys? I thought that was Poppy. Then Ben's got a dog called Poppy. Rob's got
Poppy.
Shut up.
That was amazing. No, Poppy is currently cuddled right next to me, as she always is when I do a podcast. She's
yeah.
Oh, hello.
So basically, Lyle Collins did the most Cowboys thing he could possibly do by A, trying to bribe an official, and B, not getting caught doing it, but then not liking the lenient sentence you've got, so appealing, then getting caught for it because you appealed.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know what? He deserves the 6-game ban. I'm going to, as much as I want him, he definitely deserves it.
The thing is, though, like, he just shouldn't have done the bribe because the ball was, I fully had his back. It was like, yes, he did miss three, but basically everyone in his family kept dying. He was at the funerals and it's proven, like, we allow that. And, like, I understand why he bribed it, but, like, anyway, we don't have
the moral of the story is if you fucked up and then you fuck up further by trying to bribe someone and then you get penalized for the initial fuck up but quite leniently, just take it.
Don't organize an investigation into how badly you fucked up.
Yeah, it's not going to go the other way.
No, fair play.
And two games, it's like Chargers and Eagles. Come on. Yeah. And that's the good thing as well. The 6-game ban is like Chargers, Eagles, Panthers, Giants. I'm not sure which order it goes in. Patriots, Broncos. So it's not exactly like, you know, we're playing the Chiefs later. Oh, I think he's back for the Chiefs. But we have a good run of 6 games now where we could actually, well, we have a good run of 4 games where we could end up 6-1.
Yeah, which would be nice. And also, so one of my best friends is a Giants fan. And
poor guy.
Message him any abuse. I didn't message him anything. I didn't need to. Right? He messaged me like last night, and this is what he texted me. He just goes, "Are we the Browns now?" And I just went,
I don't. Well, they're playing with irrelevancy, aren't they? Like, if you remember that Washington was sort of sat in irrelevancy for like 5 years, where they just couldn't do anything that made them relevant at all.
Yeah.
And then the Giants are doing
the same thing. And then the big brown shark came.
Welcome back, Rob. Is your dog all right?
Oh, she was just having a fucking seizure because we're having our house, our door painted and refinished and everything. And the guy was there to let me know everything's done. So she was going absolutely nuts.
Okay. So, cool. Nobody's dead. We're good. Right. We're just talking about how the Giants are shit, basically.
Well, the fucking Redskins are shit, too. And, I mean, if the Eagles were our toughest competition, defense. I mean...
Yeah. The Redskins' defense last year was one of the best... One of the most improved, and as much as they're a division rival, they were very entertaining to watch. Don't know what's happened to them this year. They're fucking awful.
You can't be good if you're always on the field. You need your offense to give you some space.
They're true. Ain't that the truth? Yeah, they're just the Redskins are. Sorry, no, the Washington football team. Are rubbish. And the Giants are rubbish, and the Eagles are fairly rubbish. And basically, Dak, don't get injured, you prick.
just on that little slip up, I would like to note that this weekend is the last weekend that the Cleveland Indians will play. It's the last game of the season on Sunday, and then after that, they will become the Cleveland Guardians.
So what's happening with the Washington football team? Are they just staying the Washington football team?
They've not come up with their choice yet. I quite like
them being called WFT.
I don't know if they're going to change it. I don't know if they're going to stay as the football team. It seems to have stuck.
It does seem to have stuck, but it's stuck because it's a joke like they are. Permit.
Just to keep everyone interested in the podcast while we're yawning.
Yeah. Sorry about that. It's been a long day.
That's what happens when we're in Britain and we have to stay up till 1:30 in the morning to watch the game.
Yep, ain't that the fucking truth?
But it was worth it.
No, it was worth it.
I didn't stay up. I watched it at like 4 in the morning instead. I got up.
Yeah,
earlier.
I watched it. I literally watched the first half, and then when it finished, and I was like, I can go to sleep. There's no way we're fucking it.
Hey, did you guys?
If it was that score against other teams, they'd have been like, I'd better stay up. And I was like, I can go to sleep. Like, there's no way they're coming back from this. And I woke up, looked at my phone, and I was like, I was so right. What were you saying, Rob?
So did you guys hear what Jalen Hurts said about the loss yesterday?
He said,
you take a deuce, you don't sit there and look at it, you flush it and move on. We're going to flush it and move on.
That's not a good attitude. You don't... You actually learn from shit like that.
No pun intended.
As a starting quarterback in the NFL, you learn from shit like that. You don't just ignore it, pretend it didn't happen, and like you said, flush it down the toilet like a big stinking piece of shit. You taste the shit. You find out why the shit tastes. My metaphor is really going now. You smell the shit. You take in the odor. You find out why it stinks of shit. You taste the shit and find out why it tastes so nutty. You learn.
Talking of eagles, by the way, and stinking and tasting like shit. Something that we'd not mentioned yet. This happened a month or two ago, but we've not brought it up yet. Is the very entertaining to watch Eagles YouTuber EDP445, I think he was called. EDP, it stands for Eat That Pussy. The guy who'd always do the big fat black guy who'd do the videos complaining about basically how shit the Eagles were. And when we used to beat them, it was so entertaining to watch. And he'd be there with his Cowboys mate, and he'd basically be having a breakdown. Well, if you're a Cowboys fan and you like watching Eagles cry, you've probably seen his videos. Well, he has been caught being a paedophile, and he is—he's now,
with that Facebook YouTube name. Horror that he's got caught doing something that he shouldn't.
Eat That Pussy 445, or it was 456 or something. I can't remember what the numbers are.
4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds.
There we go. But yeah, he got caught trying to meet up with a 13-year-old girl. So, and the best thing was, though, he was caught by a rival YouTuber. So one of his like rival YouTube channels basically was like, I feel like he's probably a pedo. Set it all up, caught him, and we're like, well, you are a pedo, actually. So it's all been, he was like arrested and shit. So yeah, fuck the Eagles even more, you bunch of pricks.
I'm not entirely certain where we can go with this now.
Beating the Eagles, we all think we're going to beat the Panthers. Some of us think it's going to be closer than others.
I did want to say we missed it in the analysis, but I did want to say that what a little find we have in Odigizua.
The defensive tackle. Him.
He's great. He's been great. He was balling out like a fucking legend.
So Kearse was great again.
Yep. Jalen Smith has been having a good season too.
Yeah, Smith's doing well.
On that bombshell.
Beautiful, lovely light note, guys.
Bye, guys.
Cheers, guys. Bye. See you next week. You listen to this far.
Good night, everybody. Sleep tight, guys. I do.